So we have been walking through the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark for several weeks now. And we've seen several instances of Jesus working wonders and miracles like the healing of the leper, the miraculous healing of the leper in our Gospel today. I think it was last week that I mentioned these miraculous healings. They aren't just an example of the Lord's compassion for us. They're also a sign pointing to Jesus' identity. They're his credentials, so to speak, the reason to believe that he is the incarnate Son of God and the long-awaited Messiah. But there's obviously more that we can draw out of the miracles. You know, down through the ages, many of the fathers of the church, great theologians and saints, have seen in miracles like the miracle of the healing of the leper, an image of the sacraments, right? A foreshadowing of the sacraments. How so? Well, in our gospel, Jesus simply touches the leper, says the word, and he's healed. His words and gesture have power to affect what they signify, to bring about what he says and does. And that's a dynamic that we see in the sacraments. Right, just as when Jesus walked the earth, his words and gestures of power or had the power to heal the leper, so too, down through the ages, do the words and gestures of Jesus continue to work wonders to heal us through the sacraments that he instituted and entrusted to the church. As Christ said to the leper, "Be healed, be clean," and he was, right? So too in the sacraments, the priest of Jesus Christ says, "This is my body, this is my blood," and through the power of Christ, it happens. Bread and wine is transformed into his body and blood. You know, the sacraments are not these man-made rituals. They're instituted by Christ. They are treasures from heaven. And they communicate this grace that sanctifies us, that forgives our sins, that makes us the adopted sons and daughters of God. They are the greatest secret in the world. If we understood the cleansing power of baptism, the healing power of the confessional, the strengthening and nourishing and sanctifying power of the Eucharist, our churches would be bursting at the seams. The reason they're not is, we could visibly see, had we been there, Jesus' healing of the leper. We could have seen the effect visibly. We don't see the cleansing power of baptism with our eyes or the healing power of the confessional with our eyes, right? We don't see that, even though what we're healed of in confession is in a sense, a greater miracle, right? It's faith that supplies where our senses fail. Now, I get it if at this point you assume this homily is just going to be a homily on the sacraments. And I would get why you would think that. That's all I've talked about so far. But it's actually a homily about parish finances. If you think it's weird to begin a homily on parish finances with the sacraments, let me try to explain myself. The sacraments get to the heart of who we are and our identity. But even the sacraments, they are not divorced from a practical matter like parish finances, right? We need a roof over our heads. We need to pay the bills, so to speak, to still be able to offer the sacraments. It's been a little over 6 months since I came to Mater Dei. And it didn't take me long when I got here to realize Mater Dei has a lot going for it. We have many dedicated parishioners, generous parishioners. I'm constantly edified by people's willingness to give to the parish. For example, an obvious example, it was a group of parishioners who approached me and said, "We want to paint Holy Name." And they took the project on, and a parishioner paid for it. And it was not a small undertaking, and we all benefit from them, their effort to beautify the church. Or another recent one was Assumption. I mean, it was a huge effort to get Assumption reopened. And there were people there Saturday after Saturday cleaning up and getting ready. We had other parishioners working behind the scenes, right? There's too many, groups to name, but we have many generous, dedicated parishioners. We also have a very dynamic school, a phenomenal school. I firmly believe we have the best school in Topeka, and it's a hidden gem. Then we have two beautiful historic churches. And let me just tell you why I appreciate that. I mean, I'm from Johnson County, right? It's the land of uninspiring modern churches, right? We don't have that problem, right? And a beautiful church is not meant to be a showy thing. It's meant to help lift our hearts and minds to God so that we can pray, so that we can enter into the Mass, participate in the sacraments better. We have a lot going for us, but we also have some very real challenges, very real financial challenges. So the flip side of having historic churches, beautiful churches, is that they can be very costly to maintain. So we all know what just happened at Assumption. You know, we had to take the towers down, and then we had to tuck point, and we had to do all this kinds of stuff at Assumption, and it was not cheap. Well, thankfully it's reopened, but we have major tuck pointing that needs to happen here at Holy Name Church and School, and it needs to happen for the structural integrity. And it's not going to be cheap either. It's going to cost us several hundreds, thousands of dollars. And then we have stained glass window maintenance here that must happen, that's long overdue. And it's these stained glass windows here in two at Assumption, and that will cost us just north of $100,000. Another major expense, the number one expense of the parish, is the school. Now, the school is vital and necessary to the parish, but it is our single biggest expense every year. That may come as a surprise to some. You might think, well, the families are paying tuition. Why is that the biggest expense for the parish? Reason is that the parish heavily subsidizes the expenses of the school. So to put that in context, for the last three fiscal years, 2021, 21-22, 22-23, on average, the school's expenses were $1.19 million. And of those $1.19 million, the parish subsidized $767,000. That's every dollar the school spends, the parish is covering 64 cents of it, almost two-thirds. And given the prohibitive cost of maintaining our buildings and the cost of the school, it probably isn't a surprise that the parish has been losing money for a while, right? The last two fiscal years, we were $228,000 and $291,000 in the red, respectively. And for our current fiscal year, we budgeted a loss of about $209,000. However, there is some good news. You know, in December, halfway through the fiscal year, we were $48,890 in the red. You don't want to be in the red, but that's a real and substantial improvement from what we had budgeted to be our loss. Right? We had we're on pace for something like being $97,000 in the red. Now, I never thought I would be excited for being $97,000 in the red, but that is at least an improvement that we can build off of. Moreover, the school is doing better financially this year. There's more income and less expenses than last year. And so as a result, the parish subsidy is less, right? So the parish has only subsidized 58% of the expenses this year, saving us $96,000. Again, good progress to build off of. But the question is, what are we going to do in the face of these challenges? And the first response I would have is we need to grow the parish. We need to grow the school. We need to invite people to become parishioners. And we need to invite people to send their kids to school. And we need to invite people to become Catholic, consider becoming Catholic. Right? And this is part of the reason I began with the sacraments. Because when we do that, when we invite people, we should do so with confidence. Because, you know, what we have in the Mass and the sacraments is what everybody needs, whether they know it or not. You know, St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Right? Nowhere is that more true this side of heaven than in the Eucharist. And then we all need a community, and we have a great community here. You know, there's been study after study showing that loneliness is on the rise, isolation is on the rise. You know, this is a community we should invite more people into. Secondly, we need people to contribute to the parish. Right? And when we talk about contributions, you know, often we speak of time, talent, and treasure, but specifically today, I'm going to talk about treasure, about giving financially. Now, I already said we have many dedicated parishioners, and we do, but we need more, right? And I am well aware that I'm speaking to many people who already give generously, to this parish and give financially regularly, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you. But I'm also well aware that I am, in all likelihood, speaking to people who, for whatever reason, do not financially support us. Maybe you're new, maybe you know you just haven't come around to it, whatever it may be. If there's anyone here who fits that description, I'm prayerfully asking you to consider supporting us regularly, right? You know, sometimes times are tough and budgets are tight. I get that. But even a little amount regularly given goes a long way. And then, of course, if we're not even able to give a little or small amount regularly, there's other ways to give with our time, with our talent, by volunteering. But however we give, we need to remember God's never outdone in generosity, and he rewards abundantly those who are generous with him. Lastly, we need to hope and trust in God. It would be really easy to look at the balance sheet, look at the numbers I just listed off, and despair, and write off modern day as hopeless. That would be a tremendous mistake. That would be a tremendous mistake. Nothing's impossible for God. We have the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, modern day, is our patroness, right? So let us entrust our efforts of revitalizing our parish to her and to her intercession. For her son never refuses his mother any request she makes. And she's not only the Mother of God, she's our spiritual mother as well. A mother who has experienced the greatest of all sorrows, who feels all our griefs and ponders in a maternal way how to overcome them. That's true of our personal difficulties. That's true of our parish difficulties as well. Let us entrust our parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary. May Our Lady, Mother of God, Mater Dei, pray for us.